I guess it's Wednesday. Yep. It's the news. According to me. Oh, it's Wednesday. I already said that. July 16th, 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I still tell there's a little nasalness in my nose. That's usually where nasalness comes from. Nasalness is usually in the nose, since nasal, I got a little sinus issue still going on. But I feel much, much better. In fact, I haven't taken any medicine since Monday night. Monday evening. Took some medicine. Took some Alka-Seltzer plus cold medicine. Usually that's all it takes, but one shot of that. And the rest, once I get some good sleep, it's just a... That's where the issue usually is, anyway. So now I'm feeling much better. I'm not so achy, breaky all over my body. The achiness, just the headache. It was the biggest thing. The sinus headache is what really drives me nuts. I just feel like somebody's holding a hot iron in my face or something. I don't know, something like that. A vice. My face in a vice. Everything is irritating. Just moving my eyes around hurts. It's just not a pleasant feeling. It takes a lot to get through that. Anyway, it's minuscule compared to what some people have had to endure, even for short term, but some people for long term in their life. It's unbelievable what some people have gone through, what they've had to endure with their physical issues and sometimes things that have been imposed upon them, not even things that were their own fault or in their own body. So they're just things that have been done or being done to them. The suffering that they've gone through is amazing. Yeah, the humans can be very resilient. I have I was watching this thing about Anna Navarro. I guess she kind of flipped out on this guy. I wasn't really planning on talking about this, but I want to talk about it anyway. The first thing I want to talk about, however, is what's in my cup. I have my chai, my favorite chai. It's a mixture of Big Train chai it's creamy vanilla chai, by the way. It's not chai latte. It's chai. It's not the spicy chai. And it also has a little bit of Pacific chai, Island chai. The Pacific Island chai has a little bit more of a spice to it. But it's just kind of a, I mix the two together. It's about a 1-to-3 ratio, so I have, it's about a fourth, I guess. So I have one scoop of Pacific Island chai with three scoops of Big Train. It's probably what it amounts to, because I just put the one container into the other, and the one container is about four times, or three times, I don't know what it is. Three times the size of the other one, so I think that gets 1-to-4, or 1-to-3, right? Anyway, it's a 25% deal. So it has a little touch of spice to it. And I got, of course, my almond joy. I think it's almond joy creamer. Maybe it might be coconut cream. I think it's almond joy. I can't remember. Let's open the new one. So it might just be coconut cream. I digress. I think I have also has some, my wife got me some Cinnabon creamer up there that I haven't used. I haven't opened that one yet. But she keeps me stocked with the creamer. I have a couple things I want to talk about. One is this. There was an interview, apparently. I didn't get to see it. I saw clips of this thing. And the show I was watching it on, which is kind of interesting, this guy, his name is Larry O'Connor. And he has a channel called Larry with Larry O'Connor. Which, makes sense. The Larry part is all capitals, and then the Larry O'Connor is spelled normal, but it's Larry with Larry O'Connell. I just discovered, I think I've heard his channel before. I think I've seen something about it, because it probably comes up with suggestions, surprisingly, which just doesn't usually happen anymore. Usually it's everything is usually MSNBC or CNN. And, he's talking about something that happened on CNN. And one of the things was this Anna Navarro tantrum that she threw. And it's really interesting because this guy, can't remember the guy's name. He's a representative. He's actually I think he might be a libertarian. And she makes this comment, and I'm not going to play everything for you, but she makes this comment about the thing, and I still don't have it queued up, about him saying something about, well, you as a white man, you say that as a white man, something to that effect, and basically saying that he's wrong because he's white. But from the brown and Latino community, I come from the Latino, let me give you my perspective from the Latino community. And he throws it back in her face and says that's racist. There's something about her being racist about that. Now, I have an issue with the word racist. There's such a thing as racism and there's such a thing as racialism. You're a racialist. In other words, you have to paint everything through the color of race. Now, that's not necessarily racism. It is. But I think it's a subcategory of racism, and it's where you have to say that we have to bring up the ethnic. When you have an opinion, it's based on your ethnic experience. And that somehow that trumps everything that you do. Not to use it, you know. Anytime you use that word now, you have to disclaim it. But speaking of disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Just a guy with a lot of opinions and everything. A lot of things I'm not. Not certified for anything. So if you use my advice or use my opinions for anything, that's on you. I'm not taking any responsibility for that. This is just a show. By the way, my backup cup, if hopefully this is the first time you've ever heard this show, you now have the full idea of where it goes. It just goes anywhere at any time. My backup cup I have here. I still have sweet tea, sweet peach tea, by the way, fresh peaches. Well, they're not fresh, they're frozen. But they were fresh when they were frozen. They were sliced up by my wife and frozen. I put those in with my tea. Gives it a little bit of a peach. This doesn't have a very strong peach flavor. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if I did everything pretty much the same way I did before. It might just be the particular batch of peaches there that just didn't come through with the flavor as much. Now, usually I don't. Usually I let the peaches thaw out a little bit before they go into the drink, before they go into the pitcher. But I don't know. Maybe there's still a little bit less than half a gallon left. I think I'm planning on taking quite a bit. My wife drank some yesterday, I made a gallon like 2 days ago. I'm hoping to get it all because it won't. I've got to go on the 4-day trip here. I'm not going to be back until Saturday night late. And I think that. By the way, I'm going to be in Birmingham, Alabama tomorrow morning, in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Friday morning. So there you go. I have, and we will have a show. I mean, as far as I know, that's the norm. That's what's supposed to happen. We'll see what happens. So I'm trying to get it, all drank or taken with me somehow. I've got to try to figure out. I don't have my other. I don't know what happened to my other thermos. I've got a pretty good sized thermos that I think I left it on my boat, which I could always stop there and get it, I guess. But then I have to take the tea with me. It's just big. I don't know. And it's one more thing I got to cart around when I'm traveling. Anyway, I have a couple things. I want to check on numbers here. I was going to check on this. Today is the 16th. Oh, I didn't even. It's not even coming up. Let's check in on the statistics. Since it's Wednesday, we kind of look at statistics on Wednesday. Statistics. It's in the ballpark. It's within 50%, 75%. Yeah, it's okay. It only goes to the 15th on there for some reason. It doesn't show the 16th at all. So I think it's kind of behind on something there. Definitely the average listening queue is, I would say it's up from what it sometimes is. Anyway, let's take a look just for fun. Let's take a look at the geographic stats. See if there's anything new here. It's Santa Clara, California, remains the highest city. The most listens. New York, New York, of course. Even New Jersey is up there. Interesting. I have Australia still on the board, which is kind of interesting. What else we got here? We got this Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland, Spain, UK, of course. And, that doesn't look like the... Oh, it's Ireland. That's interesting. Azerbaijan and Iran. Yeah, China. Oh, I got a few in China now all of a sudden. That's kind of... That's new and different. And, of course, the United States. Canada has started to tune out, I think. Canada hasn't been very embracing of my show here lately. The last 60 days. We have, or was it 30 days? I guess 30, no, it's 90 days. Last 90 days. All right. Anyway, let's go back to this. I have, so this Anna Navarro thing, she's like getting this guy just, he wouldn't back down. He got on her face. And she, of course, she starts arguing. She starts throwing this little tantrum. And the lady who runs this show, I don't know, she's on, is it Backfire? What is it called? CNN. I don't know what the name of the show is. But it didn't turn out well. The moderator had to kind of step in, as she always does. Every time a Democrat or a leftist is losing in the fight, let's just step down. We need to take a step back from this, and we'll come back to this. This is something we'll get into a little bit later. And then, because she never does. She's complete avoidance. Great moderator. Can't moderate, actually work through the debate. She has to just do something different with it. I was watching a short the other day on YouTube. This guy, they're having a debate. I think it's this guy's show. I think it's his podcast. And he's got this lady on there, and she's a feminist. She's going like off the chart thing. She's trying to tell this guy about women's voting rights. Well, this guy happens to know a little bit more about the whole voting right thing than this lady does, and he goes. Did all men have the right to vote? I think was it 1920? Is that women's suffrage? I think it was 1920 when women were fully allowed to vote. Or maybe it was blacks. Whatever it was. I think it was black men. Now, there was some issue with this because at that time, the other issue is not all men were allowed to vote. All men were allowed to vote about 10 years before women were allowed to vote. Oh, really? What, the founders were men? What do you mean? What are you talking about? This is something hardly anybody ever talks about. The right to vote used to be tied to property ownership. If you were not a property owner, you had no right to vote. That's how strict it was under the founders. You want the right to vote? You have to own property. You have to be invested in the nation. Once you're a property owner, now you can vote. Because taxation was directly involved and directly connected to property ownership. Now you're invested in the country. Now you can vote. Whereas the leftists and the liberals, if you just step across the line, you can step in the voting box. We don't really care where you're from or what allegiance you have to anything or anybody. We're just come on over and vote. Oh yeah, you come on in. By the way, here's the Democrat candidate. Come on in here. We'll give you free health care and free everything, free college, free whatever you want. Free! Whee! Rich men are going to pay for it. We're going to tax the rich. Millionaires and billionaires. Well, just the billionaires, because I'm a millionaire now. All right, so we have, interestingly enough, so Anna Navarro, she just comes traipsing back in here, and this guy goes after it. And this voting thing, I was talking about that. The voting thing. So this guy gets into this whole thing. He starts laying into her about it. She knows she's losing the battle. And all of a sudden she turns it into, excuse me, you're interrupting me. And I was talking and you weren't talking and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to talk to anybody like this. I'm going to walk away and I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back in 2 minutes and you better straighten up. And he's like, this is a debate, lady. If you can't handle it, if you can't handle it, then you shouldn't come to a debate. But she wouldn't be talking to you like this. Well, then you're not going to be talked to. You're going to walk away. And you're not going to have a place at the table. When you come back, there won't be a microphone there for you because you can't handle it. Step up to the plate. As they say, man up, I would say. But, that's probably offensive to her. Anyway, if you're losing the battle, don't just divert off. You're interrupting me. I can't talk to you if you're interrupting me. Well, I'm just trying to give you some facts here. He didn't back down from it. He kept going. If you can't handle it, what's the matter with you? it was good. And I think it might not have been his show because she acted like somebody should take care of their guest. And I'm not sure exactly what it was all about, but basically he wasn't having anything of it. And I'm pretty sure he was, it looked like he was the head of the show. It was his show. She came on to debate him about it. Which, again, takes me to the Sean Ryan thing. Sean Ryan was interviewing Gavin Newsom, and I guess this is where, he makes all these comments, and he starts talking about the economics of California and how, deporting all these illegal immigrants are going to, the undocs, they're calling them undocs now. Undocs. Not undocumented immigrants, not undocumented workers, not undocumented whatever, not illegal immigrants, not illegal migrants, not illegal aliens. Can't say any of that anymore. It's just undocs. They're undocs. We'll probably just call it UDs here after a little bit. The UDs. Undocs. I don't know what they're going to be. Because they have to come up with a cute little name for them to make them, less intrusive, less. So that we have, what's happening is that he talks about the economics of, now he claims that 50% of the workers picking crops and doing things in the food packaging industries and everything, he thinks that 50% of them are legal immigrants. Now 50% of them might be immigrants, might have never been born here. That's very possible, 50%. There's no sector. Even in California, where 30%, it doesn't happen. It's just, he claims that, he goes there and he doesn't see anybody that looks like him there. Which is, again, that's just an elitist, racist kind of statement to make. Racialist, I should say. Which is a form of racism. It's not, I don't want to make it sound like it's less than racism. But I think you have to, you have to define what you're talking about here. You're not talking about, the term racist, I guess, comes with a connotation, and I want to stay away from that. The word racist comes with this connotation, this expectation, or this over kind of whatever you want to call it. It's innuendo that there's one race that's superior to another, and that's what racism kind of has, this thing that your race is superior to to someone else's race or whatever it is. And it was interesting. I listened to this thing yesterday. Is it Carmela? Whatever her name is. I could probably find it here on my history. I'll go to my history. Oh, great. Now my internet's going slow again. What did I hear about? Some kind of thing about anarchy. I think I had a dream about that. I was watching a show about anarchists or something. What was that about? All right, I think it's got to be here somewhere. What is her name? Uh, Oh, where did it go? It's got to be here. So I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. It's taking me a little while to find this. What is her name? Where's her? I thought she was right there. I thought it had to have been right there. Yeah, here it is. Carmen. Carmen JC is her name. She is a... I think she's a more powerful voice. Now, she doesn't have the articulate, quick speak of a Candace Owens, but she's genuine. This young lady is absolute solid to the core in terms of the way she she has definitely has seen the light here in terms of anti-whiteism. She even plays clips of Mark Dice, which I even have a hard time sometimes swallowing stuff from Mark Dice. Sometimes he's a little bit over the, I don't know, but she's totally on board with this thing of how the African-American black community, however, whatever we're supposed to call them now. Whatever the term is, whatever's politically correct this week, I don't know. Undox, I don't know. So what they, she goes into this whole thing about how people who say certain things, she sees the hypocrisy here. She spells it and she'll paint it in vivid colors with examples. She doesn't like it. She hates it. And this one experiment was done where these students had put up something it was an organization or a student organization or something. They put up this thing, a sign on campus. Said it's okay to be white. And it had kids gotten thrown out of school. The parents were getting phone calls, come pick up your kids. We're locking down the school. We don't know what's going on here. So, you know, you can put something up like Black Lives Matter or Black, it's okay to be black. That you could put that up all day. It's okay to be from Palestine. It's okay to be Palestinian. It's okay, whatever. You could have put any of that stuff up. Nobody would have. You probably could have gotten an award for that. Oh, you're so brave. It's okay to be white. That is somehow a death threat. It just amazes me. And of course, this organization finally, it went national with this whole thing. This whole thing went nuts. And she makes this point that, you know, that there are certain things that are just, since you talk about privilege, And the way that some people are persecuted and treated, based on race and color and whatever you want to call it. I've got color of your skin. That's what I'm going to call it because there's one race. We're all humans, and this distinction of ethnos is a little bit. I have no problem with people being different. This cultural appropriation thing. Oh, yeah, that's cultural appropriation. You can't do that. Oh, but you can do all this stuff. That's from the European community, and you're doing all that. But that, I can't do something. I can't have dreadlocks because that's even though the first people who had dreadlocks were assumed to be. Historically looks like they were probably from Norway. Anyway, this issue. I want to talk about the economics of this whole thing. I want to get into this before it gets too late here. I've got to get moving pretty soon. So Newsom is being interviewed. I like Sean Ryan. There's some things I don't like about Sean. The way he does his show sometimes, it's his show. He can do whatever he wants to. And he's obviously more successful than I am. And he's accomplished a huge amount of things in his young life. A man to be respected, and I think he's doing an awesome job. He's gone through a lot, so I just want to make that very clear. However, and it's funny. You're not going to make everybody happy, and I'm one of those people. Not always going to make me happy. So he goes through this thing. He's asking Gavin some questions. It almost felt like he wasn't very well prepared for this. Because there's some questions that, and he did a nice job. He did it. The interview was fine. He treated him well. They got back and forth. But Newsom got off with some stuff. And he ended up getting away with some things and saying some things. And some of the stuff he said was not challenged or pushed back on. This is where I think, you get somebody like, this is something that Larry O'Connell or O'Connor said. You're getting him on a show with, what's the guy's name? Adam Carolla. Get him on a show with a guy like that. Adam Carolla, the guy is probably borderline genius. I don't know anybody who can think on their feet with examples. And this, he spends either a lot of time in deep thought, really contemplating a lot of things, or he just has a very quick mind in some of this stuff, because he can relate with an example of something so quickly that it spells it out in plain English in a way that you just now. I don't like the fact that Adam he's a very vulgar guy. The explorative's just roll right off his mouth. But he talks some common sense in a lot of ways, and then there's some things, he's got some opinions that I don't always agree with. It's mostly about taste in terms of things he likes, things he doesn't. He hates soccer, for example. I like soccer. So what? Anyway, this guy, if Gavin Newsom, I know Gavin Newsom and him got into it one other time. And it was about something about, what's the common thread? He was asking him this question about something. There was a whole bunch of people there, and he was trying to pin Gavin Newsom down on something, and it wasn't going well. Maybe it was Barack Obama was there. I think it was there was a couple of different people there. Now, keep in mind, Gavin Newsom is kind of their great white hope, if you want to call it that. I use that in terms of the movie, if you've ever seen that. He's the great hope for the Democrat Party. I think the Democrats are, he's got the support and money behind him. He's the slick talker guy that, politician. He's going on all these, he's got his own podcast now, and he's inviting all these people on. And he's kind of, I get it. But he's the governor. He could do something about this stuff, the stuff he's talking about. But he's not going to. He's just going to slide his way into this. This is kind of like what Kamala did when she was first running in the primaries against Joe Biden. And people would ask her a question. She said, "Well, that's definitely a conversation we need to have." Well, that's what we're trying to have here is a conversation. And you talk about anything at all, whatever touchy subject it was. Well, that's definitely a conversation the nation has to have. Oh, well, what's your think? What's your opinion on it? You just don't have an opinion until the nation has a conversation. You want to be part of the conversation? You want to share your opinion? That's how that works. Everybody shares their opinion, and then we all have a conversation. That's where they go. And we just have a little debate. No, didn't want to do that. So Gavin starts talking about this whole thing. Now, I want to talk about the economics of how this – look, I've got a friend of mine. I'm going to say a friend. And we'll say his name is Bob. His name isn't Bob. I do have a friend named Bob, but I think he listens to the show sometimes. It's not him. Let's call somebody else. His name is Joe. Okay, I don't think I know anybody named Joe. Not that I can think of. If you are my friend and your name is Joe, give me a call. 812-379-8779. Give me a call. Leave a message. Text me that number. And let me know what you think, Joe. So this guy's name is Joe. Okay. And he's concerned about affordable housing. There's no affordable housing here. So he's going to build some houses and basically at cost so they can create affordable housing. You know, like two houses that are going to be, they're going to, you know, he's going to say you go out and you build five houses. Three of them are going to be for profit and the other two are going to be low income or, you know, low cost housing, affordable housing, they call it. And you're just trying to break even here. You're trying to build the three houses to make enough money to pay for the other two. Kind of a micro what do they call it? It's restore. What do they call the housing project that Jimmy Carter was in? Yeah, whatever that thing is still Habitat for Humanity. That's what it is. The kind of like a micro thing like that. So you're trying to be altruistic. You're trying to be trying to do the whole thing. You're doing what you can. But let's talk about the root causes. You know, after everybody wants to talk about the root causes and explore the root causes of this whole thing. So let's talk about it. I've talked about economics before, and I think it is one thing that I kind of have a knack for understanding. I may not be able to do my family budget, but I understand economics. I understand it. So they have. I'm not an economist, though, by the way, as well as not being a doctor, a lawyer, or a financial counselor. But I can talk about econ. So we're gonna. Here's what you have. You have the. Let's say just for example, you have 10 million people come into the country all of a sudden. Gee, that can't affect the economy now, can it? Oh, we can absorb that. What kind of an effect do you suppose that has on, let's just say, okay, let's say they were all divided up within all the 50 states, just equally. That's 200,000 people per state. How many towns do you suppose every state has that has anything over 200,000 people in it? You're talking a major metropolis city here at 200,000 people per state is what you're adding to every state in the country. In fact, some states don't even have, I don't think they have a million people. Was it Idaho? What's the population of Idaho? Well, I got the internet right here. Bubba, I'm gonna look it up right now. What's the population of Idaho? Two million people. Let's look at guess Idaho. I'm gonna Nevada. Wyoming. Population of Wyoming. So we got here. That doesn't come up with a real easy one here. Wyoming population. Wyoming is the state is a state in the mountain region of the United States known as Yellowstone, Grand Tetons, and the High Plains. It has a population of 590,000 people. You can almost increase by almost a third. Making it the 52nd most populated state in the country. How does that happen when you have 50 states? What? The 52nd most populated state in the country. What? I that makes no sense whatsoever. 52nd most. I don't know what that even means. I don't know. It's almost like that's a joke. So the, what is going on with that? That makes no sense at all. All right. So 200,000 people per state. Let's just put it that way. That's a major city. It may not be the most populous city in every state, but it's a major city. How does that affect the economy? Imagine building an entire city for 200,000 people. Housing, food, clothing, medical care, education, jobs for 200,000 people. It's all of a sudden, within 4 years. How does that affect all the other cities and states and everything around you, the rest of your state? How does that affect that? Well, obviously, you're going to have a lot of workers. So those 200,000 people that are coming in, not all of them are going to be workers, by the way. Only about 30% of that population is going to be workers. If it's divided up, well, that depends on who's coming across the border, which we know that more than 50% of them were what they call military-aged individuals, so men, between the ages of about 18 and 25, or was it 18 and 30, I guess it was. A lot of them were that age. Almost, I think it was almost 50% of them coming across the border. So yeah, you got above average workforce there to do heavy labor, that is, construction work, that kind of thing. But now you still need supply chain. You still need supplies. You still need food. You still need, and you're going to need houses. So they're going to build their own houses. But of course, that's not going to happen within 4 years. You're not going to build 200,000 houses per state. What's it going to do to your supply, let alone the natural growth of everything else in the state? This lopsided growth that we're having, and what it will do is it will cause the price of housing to go up. You won't have affordable housing anymore. You can't build houses because the price of lumber is rare, so it's going to go up because it's being soaked up by other things. You can't produce it fast enough. You can't spool everything up fast enough in a four-year period to take care of 10 million people. It can't be done. It just doesn't. The infrastructure isn't there. It just doesn't happen. The industry that would have to increase the amount of plywood, the amount of insulation that has to be produced, all this, it's going to drive the price of housing up. You know, there's not enough homes to rent. So the price of rent's going to go up. There's just too many renters and not enough rentals available. So people just start raising the rents because somebody else is willing to pay more. So yeah, the price of rent goes up, the price of housing goes up, the price of education, the price of food, the price of everything goes up because guess what? There's plenty of people there that will take the job, or plenty of people that will do the work. But they're all people who will also need a place to live. They need food in their mouth. They need medical care. All those things. And none of them are trained to do any of those things. We don't have people. We don't have doctors and lawyers and nurses walking across the border to come here. They're not coming here illegally. Those are the people who come here legally. Now, the vast majority, I would say probably 95% of the people who come across the border are not highly trained professional individuals that you need in order to increase society the way they're wanting us to just absorb all these people into our society. So it's not going to happen. It's insanity to do this. And yet that's what's been going on. And you get people like Gavin. Well, what are we going to do if all these people get deported out of here? We got all this housing. We have those things that they're in construction work. They're doing all. Well, of course they are, because they have to build homes for themselves. If you get rid of them, all of a sudden there's no housing shortage anymore. There's no food shortage anymore. And we have to grow all these crops. Well, that's because half the population, half the workforce is illegal immigrants. Well, then take them away, and guess what? You only need half the food. You don't see people that look like me out there. We're out there working out there somewhere. He's such an elitist. Well, he doesn't know anybody who's willing to work out there, but there are plenty of people who are willing to work out there in the meat packaging processing plants and everything else that's out there. He makes it sound like it's just this, you know, terrible place to be, and it's just out there in the tundra and out there in the frozen, you know, out there in the frontier. He doesn't know anybody out there. No, he doesn't go out there. He goes out there to visit once in a while. That's all he does. You know, it's just, and then he waves his hands around and talks and acts like he's understanding everybody. It's just so disingenuous. And it just, so anyway, it gets really it's just aggravating and disgusting when you start to think about how the leftists do all this stuff and portray that they understand and they get it. And he's trying to act all tough, Mr. Tough Guy. Going on the Sean Ryan show, you know, show this guy how tough I am. I'm a tough guy. Yeah, I was just man to man here, toughing it out here with Sean Ryan. And it's just, unfortunately, Sean gave him some platform, I think, that he just didn't deserve. But you know, it works. It's okay. It'll work. We'll figure Gavin Newsom out as he gets, you know, further and further along. Have you ever noticed that anybody who, now just look at Gavin Newsom's hair, and just for example, just for a minute. Now, most of the time when you see Gavin Newsom, you see him from the front on, and he kind of looks different. He's kind of weird, but he looks halfway normal. Look at him from the side sometime. Okay, first of all, this Gavin Newsom, how many people do you know who take their hair and comb it straight back? How many do you know that do that? Just take it, comb it straight back. Not many people do that. You know, some people do, but not very many. There's a reason for that, by the way. You know, on all sides. I mean, I can understand like a sharp part or something like that. That's, you know, angled, whatever's got, what's going on there. This guy. Let me just put this up here real quick. Here we go. The server had an error and couldn't. Yeah, it's straight back on top. Sides, everything goes straight back. Of course, they're not showing any pictures here, any images of him from the side. And of course, he's got this, you know, he's always got to show off his teeth. He's always got this thing going on with his teeth. Guys, got to show this. Anytime he smiles, it's all portrayal. It's all such a fake, phony thing. I don't know. It's if I could, wish I could find one of his side. There's nothing of him the side of his head. And again, this guy, he is the used car salesman, that's the only way I know to put it, of the political world. Oh, where is it? Yeah, there's nothing here. We've got a picture of him here taking his, he's getting his, during his little presser, getting his COVID shot. That was good. That was good. Good example there. Oh, I don't know. Where else is he here? I don't see anything else. Just the guy. The guy's such an elitist. You know, goes to the French Laundry during the COVID lockdown. Of course, he was okay doing that. But he wouldn't have said anything to anybody if he wouldn't have gotten caught. There's not one picture of him on the side, with a side view. All these that's pretty weird, actually. I do not understand. His wife, his wife's smile is extremely phony. That is the most phony thing. She is not a happy lady. That's almost like a painted on smile. They're not showing any pictures of him side. Because they know it's, you know, that's pretty ridiculous looking, actually, from his side. That's all I'm going to say about that. So the economics of this whole thing is if because they act like, well, we have to have these people because we have all this growth. We have the growth because you have all these people, and you can't afford the growth because these people are not able to pay for the growth. And it's you're not growing the economy, you're growing the population. And that's a very different thing. It's like overstretching a balloon. You know, with the air out of the balloon, it's now out of shape. It's weaker than it was. It has all kinds of other issues. And that's what we're going to end up with here. So one of the reasons why they don't, getting everybody out, just, there may be some people we need to keep, the self-deportation thing is actually absolutely, I think almost 1 million people have self-deported. Almost a million or 100,000. I'm pretty sure it was 1 million. Almost 1 million people have self-deported. Might have been 100,000. I was pretty sure it was 1 million. And when you look at that, I mean, these are people who want to do the right thing and have an opportunity to come back. And it didn't cost near as much as it would to go after these people. And this of course, gets back to this whole thing with the ICE raids and everything else. ICE going in to do their job, and politicians acting like they're just coming in and scooping people off the streets, and you could be a legal person here and just look like a brown, and they're going to come in and take you away and ship you off. That's not what they're doing. People are scared, and the left is scaring its own constituents, and I don't understand. The theory here, the thought here, what they're actually trying to get accomplished here by doing all that. It's literally just, it is fear-mongering to the max. And they do this all the time. The left does this all the time. They operate under fear all the time. I don't understand. Well, they have no agenda. They have no... Barack Obama did a speech recently, just in the last couple of days. He was kind of chastising the left. Explaining to them that they better get their act, they better toughen up, suck it up, and get on with the work that they claim to be about. And I think that what he's saying is actually kind of has some credibility. The Democrat Party has got to define itself. It needs to have a vision. It needs to have something. And even when there's things that the country agrees with, they could at least get on board with this immigration thing, saying, hey, yes, we agree that these people need to be deported. But all they talk about is comprehensive immigration reform. Comprehensive. Okay, well, what does the word comprehensive mean? What are you talking about when you're talking about comprehensive? They're talking about amnesty. They're talking about an open border where everybody's just processed. That's what they mean by comprehensive. They don't mean that's, they want to change the border. We let in 1.2 million people legally every year right now. How much more comprehensive does it need to be? That's what Joe Biden was trying to get accomplished in that one bill he was trying to get through, where he was saying, oh, the Republicans blocked the bill. Oh, we would have had the border crisis solved if the Republicans hadn't blocked the bill. Well, somehow we, all of a sudden, Trump, he stepped in and told the Democrats, told the Republicans not to vote for it. That would have solved the problem. No, that would have just erased the problem. It wouldn't have solved the problem, because what you're going to do is just the same thing you do with everything else, just like crime and everything else. Well, it's not going to call it crime anymore. And these people coming across the border, we're just going to hire agents to process them so that now they can come in legally and they can be here legally. Just walk across the border and all you have to do is say this, and now you can be. You're legally. It's an open border. That's what they mean by comprehensive immigration reform. Open border amnesty. / amnesty. That's what they're talking about. And make no mistake about that. They don't want current laws to be enforced. Now, if they did step up and just say, look, we're going to help you with this. This is one thing we can all agree on. This is obviously something the nation wants. Help, let us step in and have some suggestions how we would like to go about this. We can make this orderly kind of let's be constructive and creative in the way we can do this. No, that's not what they're doing. Oh, you're criminals. You're all racist. and we're going to start shooting you, and we're going to start killing you, we're interrupting you, and have... How does this help? How does this work? All does it creates more and more division, more and more fear, all in the name of Orange Man Bad. And the nation gets ripped apart in the meantime. So it's just, and the Democrats have no vision other than Orange Man Bad. That's all. That's the only thing they know. Trump's doing it. We got to do the opposite. It's the curse of the anti. I'm just going to call it the curse of the anti. I've seen this happen before. I think I talked about it with a church I was a part of. I was actually part of the church. The church had a church plant, and this church went to another location, had a plant, and went did this other thing. It was pretty cool movement, actually. It was a bunch of college-age kids, like 100 of them. And the church wasn't that big. I mean, the church was growing like crazy because this one little family had kind of hosted these kids and started kind of growing. They're all kind of tied as one particular family. And it was a pretty cool thing was going on. It was a kind of a revival type or kind of an awakening thing was happening within the college kids. And it was they just happened to be tied to my church. And so there was this whole thing started happening, and it was they started a church plant. And one of the pastors, you know, walked away with that group and it became the church plant, and it was this whole thing. And they kind of wanted to be the anti-church. Not that they were against church, not in that respect, but they didn't want to do everything traditional. Anti-traditional, I should say. So rather than having a church service on Sunday morning, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to have a church service on Saturday night, which, you know, in this area, that was pretty unusual at that time. So this was probably 30 years ago, 20 years ago, probably 20 years ago. So they want to have a church service at night. It's Saturday night, and later than normal. And they didn't want to start on the hour, so they started off the hour. They actually named the church after the time they started. I'm not going to say what it was because I know there's people listening that they know exactly what I'm talking about anyway. But so they have this, and of course they didn't want to have the traditional this and traditional that. So what does the traditional church do? Let's do the opposite of that. Let's do something different than that. Now, after a while, you know, I started going, that's really very cool. I don't mind the problem. There's not a problem with that. I could do everything different. To do whatever tradition, whatever. But it's not gospel. It's not doctrine. It's just what happens to work with society. So they did everything different. So what was interesting, though, after a few years, all these college kids, of course, some of them started getting married to having kids. And Saturday nights were not the easiest time to get your kids around to go to church. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the services started taking on more of a traditional type, Sunday morning type meeting. In fact, they started meeting on Sunday mornings. And they had a regular pastor, and then they had this, and they had that, and they had the regular service where they had worship, and then they had, you know, message, a little bit more worship or something. It was just a lot more normal, a lot more traditional. The tradition kind of creeped back in because guess what? That's what fit into the lifestyle, the societal lifestyle that we have. It just happened to work out that way. Even their church government was different than most churches, and it became the same thing. And of course, it's no longer existence. It's not there anymore. It became almost a home church after a while, and then it pretty much diminished and did nothing because it's just like any other church. It was, and you know. Bless them all. They had all of them, I'm sure. This is what I'm sure of. God was doing some pretty amazing things during that time within the hearts of every single individual there. And in the midst of all of that, it's not that the organization that had to succeed and continue to live on, which is fine, It was the fact that what God did in their hearts is going to live on. And that's really what matters there. And I'm sure that many of them probably have friendships that they developed during that time that will be lifelong. I have some lifelong friends, some home groups that I was a part of early on in my faith venture, that will always be forever my forever friends. They will be. They could call me right now and say, "Hey, I've got a flat tire over here, and I really need your help." Well, whatever. I'm coming right over. Yeah, don't even have to get the last of the words out of your mouth. I'd be right there to help you. Not a question about it. Oh, you need this, you need that, whatever. Yeah, just there's people like that in my life. And not that many though, but there are those people. In fact, I had a good brother of mine, just brother of another mother. He's not my sibling, but this guy found out he's having mower problems. Came over and mowed my yard yesterday. He brought his mower over and mowed my yard. Took about 2.5 hours. Well, he spent half an hour talking, or more. But yeah, just brought his mower over. Did it. And he said, he's already got plans to, the next time he's going to kind of come, he's got a date set for the next time he's going to come over and mow it. If I don't have my mower fixed yet. So it's just, okay, that's very helpful. It's kind of a big deal. Now, I know he'd like to use my backhoe. So he's got a little ulterior motive there. But at the same time, that's not the way he is. I could sell my backhoe tomorrow and he would still come mow my yard. And I know that wasn't going to be an issue, but, and I was going to loan him the backhoe. I told him he could borrow it anytime he wanted anyway, but it's just those kinds of people in your life. That's all I got to say about that. My timer has gone off about 20 minutes ago, so I really need to get going. But I just want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for, and again, you can call the show. You can text the show, 812-379-8778. And leave me a message. You can leave a voicemail. If you'd like to leave it in a way that can be played on the show, or if you'd like to just have me, if you don't mind to play it on the show, just let me know. Or you can send a text to the show, that same number, 812-379-8778. You can also, if you'd like, if you're outside the country, you don't have an international calling plan, or you can't get a hold of me, you can just go to google.com/voice and type that number in, and you can actually leave a message or a suggestion on something you want me to talk about. And you can leave your name or not if you don't want to. You can also just leave an alias name if you don't want to leave your actual name, whatever. But thanks again, folks. God bless. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. And I really do appreciate you taking the time to listen to my show. Share it, like it, whatever you want to do. God bless. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow from Birmingham.